too hard to tell what you're insinuating. Well, you think I'm the one who stole her away? And if not for me, she'd still be yours today. A spade, a spade, man to man. Tell me the truth, tell me. Were you ever there when she needed you, man to man? Look me in the eye, tell me. If you really loved her, why'd you make her cry? Man to man, well, who cheated who? You're the one to blame, tell me.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Stevenson. Prices will go up on many items next month, says Procter & Gamble, the giant U.S. company that makes Tide, Crest, Charmin, and more, citing costs from tariffs it pays on imported ingredients. Ghislaine Maxwell, the former Jeffrey Epstein co-conspirator, has appealed to Congress today to push for a pardon so she can testify openly and honestly about Epstein, says her attorney. Congress proposes a bill to try to prevent mid-air collisions. ABC's Stephen Portnoy in Washington.
The Rotor Act would require all planes and helicopters to use the ADS-B signaling system to not just send but also receive data on the position of other aircraft. The NTSB recommended it 2 decades ago.
The gunman in yesterday's New York City skyscraper mass shooting was a surveillance department employee at the Horseshoe Las Vegas Casino Hotel. That confirmed by the company. He used an M4 military-style automatic weapon, which the U.S. Armed Forces use. This is ABC News. The FBI is providing additional manpower and specialized resources as Arkansas State Police search for the killer of Clinton and Kristen Brink.
The Brinks family was hiking on a remote trail in northwest Arkansas when the killer attacked.
Someone wanted to get away with a heinous crime, they would probably go to a place like this.
Dr. Angelo Brown teaches criminology at Arkansas State University and says the park's spotty cell reception was a factor.
So by the time the news got out, he's probably hundreds of miles away.
Detectives are distributing a sketch of the suspect in Arkansas and neighboring Oklahoma. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Baseball Hall of Famer Ryan Sandberg is dead. A longtime Chicago Cubs second baseman suffered from prostate cancer. He was a 10-time All-Star and 65 years old. The number of millionaires in the U.S., people with total net worth of at least $1 million, has surged to over 23 million, says an analysis by UBS using UN, World Bank, and other data. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
I love a day on the water with friends, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis sometimes holds me back. Now I'm all in with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi. Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy.
Teaching music is my passion, but my active psoriatic arthritis can limit me at times. Now I'm treating my joint symptoms with Skyrizi.
With Skyrizi, most people with plaque psoriasis saw 90% clearer skin at 4 months.
Or if you are an adult with active psoriatic arthritis, Skyrizi helps you move with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
There's nothing like clearer skin.
There's nothing like better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi. Visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. One less potential candidate for Wisconsin governor.
WisPolitics reports that a source close to Democratic Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski says she's ruled out a run for governor, but is seriously considering a bid for lieutenant governor. She'll make a decision in the coming weeks. Governor Tony Evers announced last week that he won't seek a third term. Godlewski was elected state treasurer in 2019 and was appointed by Evers to the secretary's position in 2023 after Doug LaFollette stepped down. Godlewski dropped out of the campaign for U.S. Senate in 2022 before endorsing then-Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, at which point her term as treasurer was expiring. Barnes went on to lose to Senator Ron Johnson. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez launched her campaign immediately following Evers' announcement to Republicans. Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and CEO and former Navy SEAL Bill Berrien are also running. Governor Evers says his administration remains committed to closing Green Bay Correctional Institute. In Appleton Tuesday, Evers says he can still complete that even though he's not running for another term.
What we can do is say, this is what's going to be closed, this is what's going to be open, this is what we're going to do here, here, and here, overall goals. That's something we can get accomplished.
A Portage County man accused in the deaths of his parents is being held in a high-cash bond.
35-year-old Jacob Schulfer had his bond set at $2 million on Monday. As investigators say he shot Paula and Dale Schulfer on July 6th at their rural Portage County home. He was then shot by officers as they responded to the scene when he refused commands to drop his weapon, an action that an internal investigation showed was justified. He was discharged from the hospital over the weekend and immediately jailed. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Experience the magic of the Wabasha County Fair Wednesday through Saturday at the fairgrounds in Wabasha. Enjoy the IMP motocross Wednesday at 7 p.m. and Saturday at 5 p.m. Bull riding with Great Frontier is Friday at 7 p.m. with music by the Chubbs following. Kids games and inflatables, great food, and big races too. It's a week of food, fun, and fantastic entertainment during the Wabasha County Fair, Wednesday through Saturday at the fairgrounds in Wabasha.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. More and more sunshine today, but still hot and humid. High temperatures spike to the upper 80s, and it'll really be feeling more like the mid-90s. Got a chance for a spotty shower or a brief thunderstorm early this evening, otherwise holding off on rain until tomorrow. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. It's 80 degrees at our studios.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
And it has been mentioned in several trade deals. Does that include ethanol, or is ethanol sometimes still excluded? We'll get to the bottom line of that, and it's survey time for the August crop production report. What's included in the survey, and what carries the most weight in the August crop estimates?
Live from the precipice of cooling relief, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we'll begin with a conversation with Jeff Cooper from the Renewable Fuels Association. Then it's Lance Honig from USDA's NASS. And directly following the news, Karen Bonert from Farm Journal's Milk. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, morning, thank homie. You so much. Yeah, yeah. Good morning. Good morning. It was kind of a rough night, no doubt about it. We had like 85-mile-an-hour winds here.
Oh my gosh!
At the Waterloo Airport, which is only about 5-6 miles south of me. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was something.
I was watching some coverage. I was actually watching a live stream on YouTube from the storms up in the Minneapolis area that were moving eastward there, and then I noticed, like, if you looked downward, you guys had the same thing pointed right at you, didn't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. I did a little YouTube streaming of storm chasers and city cams and stuff like that, too. Like, for the first time ever, I did it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, my son turned me on to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
It is pretty cool, and it is interesting how the American viewer is shifting away from network television to streaming services and things like that. It's an a la carte, you know?
It is.
You usually find what you're looking for on the YouTubes.
Right. Dairy up by Centerville, South Dakota, I guess, was heavily damaged. I have not talked to anybody at the dairy to know just how much damage was done, but it sounds like they're moving cows this morning. I am sure that there are many more examples of damaged facilities and some flat corn out there. I know from Hudson, South Dakota to Rock Valley, Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Rock Valley is actually northeast of Hudson, South Dakota. But I understand that there's some damage up there. Thank you, Justin, for that report. And it I mean, in that whole stretch all the way down here to Waterloo area, and even mm-hmm. southeast of Waterloo, there is the potential for some damage out there. But the checks that I've done have turned up pretty good. They say the corn is still standing, so
okay.
be all right.
Should be all right.
Okay, man, oh, man, we got a lot to cover on today's show. Talking ethanol exports, we're going to talk the August crop production report, but first let's go ahead and get to the news.
Sure thing, the National Weather Service is calling for severe thunderstorms capable of producing damaging winds and isolated large hail, heavy rainfall possible across the northern and central plains. Monsoonal thunderstorms may produce heavy rainfall and possible flash flooding across New Mexico. Dangerous long-duration heat will continue over much of the central and eastern United States.
Yeah, we've got more storms coming our way. As a matter of fact, there is a severe thunderstorm warning already in place out in central, north central Iowa, up on the northwest around Pocahontas. We've got a severe thunderstorm happening right now, and it's coming my way.
Well, and it sounds like the heat will break at least for a few days once we get through this round of storms here. I look forward to that.
Yep.
Corn futures were fractionally higher, soybeans fractionally lower, wheat futures off about a nickel this morning, U.S. dollar index posted a five-week high in overnight. And crude futures were tethered to unchanged ahead of the open. Here we go. We're 4 or 3 cents lower, 3-4.
Yeah, turn it around. 3 to 4, 5 cents lower in corn, 2 to 5 cents lower in soybeans. Wheat is lower now. I think a lot of it is because they're finding out that there wasn't a whole lot of storm damage done last night.
Well, looking to crop conditions, the condition of the U.S. corn crop declined 1% from the good to excellent category to 73%, according to USDA. 10 states showed corn conditions improved. 8 states showed a decline. The soybean crop improved 2% to 70% good to excellent condition. Again, 10 states up, 8 states down. The U.S. winter wheat crop 80% harvested, spring wheat 1% harvested. The spring wheat crop reported in 49% good to excellent condition, 18% poor to very poor there on the spring wheat, Chip.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's one of those big questions in the wheat market, even though spring wheat made new contract low already this morning.
Well, U.S. and Chinese officials Tuesday embarked on a second day of talks aimed at extending their tariff truce beyond a 90-day period, which expires in 2 weeks. President Trump said he is not seeking a summit with Chinese leader Xi, but is considering going to China at Xi's invitation. This comes as U.S. and China trade officials are meeting this week in Stockholm, Sweden. House Ag Chair G.T. Thompson vows his panel will take up a correction to California's Proposition 12 that's forced hog producers nationwide to meet that state's sow pen size standards. The Supreme Court in 2023 narrowly upheld Prop 12 despite the Constitution's Commerce Clause said it's up to Congress to fix the nationwide hog industry impact. G.T. Thompson said, quote, this committee will consider a measured correction that preserves states' rights to preserve their internal agricultural practices. And quickly here, as mentioned earlier, the U.S. dollar index climbed overnight to a five-week high. The euro dropped below 1.16, extending Monday's 1.3% decline, the sharpest drop in over 2 months, Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Karen Bonert, editor of Farm Journal's Milk. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Chip. Sorry, techno.
Yeah,
if I can get
no
my
worries.
Video going. How are you?
I'm doing real fine, real fine. June milk production report was released last week. What did we learn?
Lots of milk, Chip. We're up 3.4% year over year in the top 24 major U.S. Milk producing states. And that seems like a lot of growth, right? But our buddy Phil Ford over at EverAg told me, you know, comparing year over year, last year wasn't a great year. And especially like in states like California that were hit hard by the bird flu. But nonetheless, growth is growth. And we're seeing it because producers are able to achieve good margins right now. And as you and I have had lots of conversations, there's a lot of excitement for new processing. So there's, you know, processors want more milk.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, is it an increase in cow numbers or is it an increase in the number or the amount of milk per cow?
Both, but we're seeing nearly 150,000 more cows year over year. So that's a lot more cows. And so what that cow number tells me is that when we talk milk production reports in the coming months, it's going to be strong because there is a hardy herd size out there.
Yeah. Yeah, boy, that's something that we need to watch because it looked like the production report stuck a low into the market, at least a temporary low into the market. We've had a little bit of a bounce in the Class 3 milk future since then, but we could use some improvement in that milk price to spiffy things up for the margins, couldn't we?
Absolutely. I think when we look at margins, why there is a margin is because, you know, inputs like feed are cheaper year over year. It's not because we're having this stellar milk check by any means.
Yep. That and a two-day-old calf is worth $1,250. That doesn't hurt, does it?
That isn't. We're doing okay. That's right.
That's right. Karen, good stuff. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Thanks, Chip.
All right. Karen Bonert, editor, Farm Journal's Milk. Go to www.dairyherd.com for more on that story. Jeff Cooper is next on AgriTalk.
Hear that? Those are Pioneer brand soybean and corn fields, the number one seed brand in the U.S., ready to harvest. The combine reaps and separates row after row of innovative genetics. Soybeans fall into bins and bounce off the tin with unbeatable yields. Pioneer corn and soybean seed is the number one brand in the U.S. This is what it sounds like to plant number one. Learn more at pioneer.com/topcrop.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
Whatever crop you grow, we can help you protect it. Bootstrapped and ready to serve, Atticus delivers battle-tested chemistries, AIs that you've come to trust and rely on from a manufacturer that strives to operate in a way that makes us accessible, responsive, and reliable. Our relevant portfolio is ready to protect your battlefields and livelihood, no matter the pest, weather, or politics. American farmer tenacity is battle-ready. Meet your ally, AticusLLC.com.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Atticus, providing battle-tested chemistries you know and trust.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us on this Tuesday morning, kind of a stormy Tuesday morning for parts of northern Iowa. And it sounds like we've got more storms to prep for in the overnight. So be prepared for that. All right, let's talk about what's going on in ethanol deals around the world. Jeff Cooper is the president and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. Jeff, it's good to talk to you again. How are you?
Doing great, Chip. How are you?
Doing real fine, real fine. You know, it seems like, Jeff, every time that we hear about a new trade deal, doesn't matter if it's Japan or UK or EU, energy is mentioned and ethanol is part of the conversation in this quite often, isn't it?
It really is, Chip, and we've been very encouraged that ethanol has really been front and center in all of these trade deal negotiations that have been going on the last several months. I think that's a great sign, great news for the industry that this administration, whether it's USTR or Commerce or USDA, is making sure that the ethanol industry has a seat at the table in these conversations. And as a result of that, we've seen ethanol included in a lot of these trade deals that are taking shape. You know, the administration's characterizing a lot of these as frameworks because they haven't yet been finalized. There's still some unknowns. There's still some things to hammer out. But like I said, what we've seen so far has been very encouraging for the industry. We think it has the potential to really boost demand in the year ahead, or the next 18 months, couple years.
You know, they call them frameworks, which means that we still need to get a lot of the details in there. And when we talk about ethanol, I mean, some of the ag products, and I'm not sure whether we need to call ethanol an energy product or an ag product, because in some cases it's this big deal for the country to purchase energy from the U.S., which might include ethanol. Yep. And on other cases, we hear that sensitive ag products are still excluded from the deal.
Yep.
That creates some confusion, doesn't it?
Yeah, it certainly does. And Chip, the EU deal that was announced over the weekend, that's one of the things that I think we're waiting for some resolution on. The EU trade officials are saying, hey, we're not zeroing out our tariffs on sensitive agricultural goods. We think they are including ethanol when they talk about sensitive agricultural goods. Okay. But then on our side, we have our U.S. trade officials saying, hey, ethanol is part of the $750 billion of trade of energy commodities that the EU has committed to purchase. So just to give you, some sense of how big that could be, I mean, we sent right around 200 million gallons of ethanol to the EU last year, paid a tariff to get it in there. That product was worth about $425 million. So if we got even a fraction, if ethanol got even a half a percent of that $750 billion in energy commodities, it would be an enormous boost for the industry and a real big increase in the shipments that we see going to the EU.
Yeah. Something that we tried to make sure that people understand on the show here is that you've got your tariff issues that we're dealing with and then the non-tariff trade barriers that are in place. Is ethanol more affected by the non-tariff trade barriers or just the flat-out tariffs?
Both, Chip. Unfortunately, we are affected by both, tariffs, duties, but also non-tariff trade barriers, whether that is, bans on the use of crop-based biofuels to meet the European Renewable Energy Directive, or you look at what Brazil's got. They've got an 18% tariff on us, but they've also got what they call the Renova Bio program, which has, it's basically their version of a low carbon fuel standard. And they haven't approved any pathways for corn ethanol from the U.S. yet. So we're facing both non-tariff and tariff-based trade barriers. Our USTR and others negotiating on our behalf understand that very well, and they're going after both in all of these discussions and all of these deals that they're talking about with our trading partners.
And with all that, we're still exporting like 2 billion gallon, right?
Yes, Chip, and that's what's amazing, and I'm glad you pointed that out. We had a record volume of exports last year, 1.9 billion gallons, and a lot of that was volume that paid a tariff to get into the EU or UK or Colombia, and we're on track to do 2.1 billion gallons this year. We think with some of these deals, once they get finalized, we could see 2.4, 2.5 billion gallons of U.S. ethanol exports on an annualized basis very soon, next year. So, I mean, I think the potential is really there for this to be a big piece of the demand picture for ethanol moving forward.
Has there been a conversation or is there a conversation happening in the industry about the ability to meet that demand? Do we have the capacity to do that?
We do. We've got the installed capacity to produce about 18 okay. billion gallons of ethanol, Chip.
Okay.
We are running at the highest sustained rates we've ever run at. We're running somewhere between 16.5, 16.8 billion gallons on an annualized basis. So we are seeing very strong demand for the product. A lot of that's being driven by exports, but we do have additional space to continue expanding. And Lord knows we're going to have the corn to do it this fall. So, you know, we do think the potential is there to keep growing production to support some of these opportunities in the export space.
So you're still saying bring it on. Let's keep building up these export markets. Okay.
Absolutely. The other thing, Chip, is we know from experience that the existing fleet of ethanol plants, they can expand pretty quick if the demand is there. There's debottlenecking things they can do. They can all kind of, you know, they can run harder than their nameplate capacity if demand conditions justify that they do that.
Okay. Gotcha. What else am I missing on the trade issues, Jeff?
You know, I think we're just really pleased, Chip, like I said, that ethanol is at the table. It's front and center in all these discussions, whether it's the UK, EU, Japan, Indonesia, Vietnam. All of these negotiations have included ethanol in some shape or form. And so we're appreciative of the administration keeping us at the table, and we want to see that continue as this as these negotiations move forward.
Fantastic. Okay, let's get an EU. Let's get an E15 update from you. What's it going to take to get this done nationwide year-round?
Yeah, the answer to that question is the same it's been for the last couple of years, Chip. It's going to take legislation. You know, we've had emergency waivers from EPA to allow us to limp through the summertime season, but that's not the certainty that the industry needs. That's not the assurance that retailers need to really make these investments. We've got to have that legislation, and we think there's going to be some opportunities to move that E15 legislation that's been introduced in both chambers yet this fall or as we get into the winter months. We think there's going to be some must-pass bills that are moving and a real opportunity to attach that language. We know it's got broad bipartisan support. We've got commitments from leadership in both chambers. So it's just a matter of finding that vehicle, finding that opening to move this language and get it done and get it behind us.
Until it happens, getting the investments from the retailers out there is going to be difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. They still tell us, hey, if we can't sell a fuel 12 months a year, 365 days a year, we're not going to do it. If we got to switch tanks and pumps and labels and all that kind of garbage, many of them are just not going to make the effort to offer this fuel.
Right. I saw a note this morning that the endangerment finding for greenhouse gases is going to be revised by EPA. What does that mean?
Well, it could be potentially huge, Chip, and I think we're still trying to get our arms around exactly what EPA is doing. They haven't officially released or announced anything yet. We're just, you know, picking up news that something's coming. But it does sound like EPA will be proposing to revoke or rescind or cancel, whatever term you want to use, that endangerment finding, which is really the entire basis for the agency's ability to regulate greenhouse gas emissions.
Yeah.
If they pull that back, it's kind of like, you know, why do we have tailpipe standards? Why do we have clean power plan? Any regulation that EPA manages that has to do with greenhouse gas emissions is predicated on this endangerment finding from back in 2009 or 10. If that goes away, it could have a fundamental shift and impact on our nation's environmental regulations.
Dude, that could be the big story tomorrow.
It absolutely could. I think people need to watch very closely what EPA does today. And then, you know, hopefully we'll have a better sense of where they're headed with all this by tomorrow morning.
Jeff, you're the best. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate you.
All right. Anytime, Chip. Take care.
All right. Jeff Cooper, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. We've got Lance Honig from NASS up next.
Wake up. Get ready. Grab breakfast. Go to work. Grab lunch. Come home. Run to practice. Run to the store. Grab dinner. Go to bed and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
This summer, lock in peace of mind and propane savings. Elsevia's summer fill program knocks 10 cents off every gallon automatically. That's up to $100 back in your pocket just for filling your tank early. Plus, now's the time to sign your energy contract for next heating season. One less thing to stress about this winter. Call Elsevia's energy team today, 608-819-3140 to get started. 608-819-3140 to get started. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, August milk down 28 to 1708. September down 27 to 1752. October down 26 to 1805. November down 11 to 1819. Triple-digit gains in the live and feeder cattle markets once again as the contracts reach new contract highs. Now, the complex moving higher due to the strong demand in the countryside. Regarding the beef, buyers are very active in that market, and that continues to help live and feeder cattle markets. Hogs are lower due to lower cash prices and lower pork cutout values. That weakness in the market's fundamentals continues to pressure prices. August live cattle up $1.25 to $229.12. August feeder cattle up $2.02 to $335.55. August hogs down 87 cents to $107.65. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat are all moving mostly lower. Good crop condition ratings from USDA continues to pressure the corn and soybean markets. Also, the weather forecast calls for favorable weather over the next 2 weeks. For wheat, the severe weather in the spring wheat areas of North Dakota was not as bad as expected, and that has wheat markets now moving lower. New crop corn down 4 to 410. New crop beans down 6.25 to 10.05 1/4. September wheat down 9.75 to 5.28 3/4. Minneapolis wheat September down 4.25.
Looking for a new skid steer loader, compact track loader, or UTV? Take the challenge. Go head-to-head against other brands, comparing quality, comfort, or performance. Bobcat machines are the best in the industry. But don't take our word for it. Visit BobcatAdvantage.com or visit us in person at Comro Sales and Service, your authorized Bobcat dealer in Durand. Call us today, 715-672-4263, to learn more.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Learn from the experts at Yield Academy in Rochester, Minnesota on August 21st. Use promo code AgriTalk for a 50% discount. Go to FarmJournalYieldAcademy.com.
Have you heard me mention, Davis, who's going to be there at the Farm Journal Yield Academy?
You know, I think I've heard about it. I've heard an awful lot of buzz.
you know, yes. about this event, but I don't want to get it wrong. You know what
Machinery,
I mean?
Machinery Pete, okay. Casey Seymour, yes. Shay Folk, mm-hmm. Ken Ferry, David Hula, Randy Dowdy, some market insights from Dan Bossy.
Oh, come it's, on.
Yeah, it's August 21st, Rochester, Minnesota, and that is the final day of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour this year. The final meeting is that night. Learn more about the whole thing. Go to Farm Journal Yield Academy. .com and on the promo code enter AgriTalk get half off. Okay, before that, we are going to get the August crop production report. Let's find out what is all involved in that. Lance Honig is with us. He is the stick with me here now. This is going to take a little while. The Ag Statistics Board Chair, the Director of the Methodology Division, Acting Statistics Division Director at the National Ag Statistics Service at USDA. Have I got it right, Lance?
I think that's plenty. Please don't add anything else.
I get it. How are you, man? It's good to talk to you.
Hey, it's great to talk to you, too. Just trying to stay cool out here in the East.
Yeah. Hey, we're trying to keep the corn upright out here with the wind that we had last night. We had like 85 mile an hour. It sounds like. The corn stood through it pretty good. So there are some, obviously, going to be some spots out there that didn't handle it, but we'll see. Okay, it's survey time for the August crop production report. And I know that you've been out there talking about what is involved in the report. You've done it for the past several years. You've talked about what goes into the August crop production report, and there is still a lot of uncertainty and I would call it some confusion. So let's try to get right to it here. I want to start with this. What role will the crop condition reports in the crop progress report, the weekly report, what role will those crop conditions have in the August crop estimates?
Very little. To tell you the truth. And so before we even get into those details, let me just remind everybody first off that okay. August is the first time NASA's involved in a yield forecast for corn and soybeans this year. And so I think it's always important to remember yes. that up to this point, that USDA number you see in the WASD, that's not survey based, right? That's not right. driven by data from on the ground happening this season. And so they're doing great work over there putting that number together. But the rules changed a little bit going into August. And so yep. let's just start there and remind folks good. Of that fact. Yep. And we're going to have two pieces of data that are going to drive the yield forecast that comes out in August. One is going to be a farmer survey. It's going right now. Yesterday was really the most active start to that. We're making phone calls. About 15, 16,000 producers we'll be talking to. And so if you really want to make the report better, fill out the survey, right? Because that is the big driver behind the data. The second piece of information is going to be some remote sensing stuff. So, right, we're going to use some satellite imagery, model some yields from that. You talk about the winds, you talk about some of this weather that's happened. That's where the satellite imagery is great, right? Because we're going to be able to look at that here in a few days and see how big a swath did that hit? How big was the impact? Really a great tool for that. And so we're going to let both of those pieces of data feed in and drive what those yield forecasts are.
Okay. What about weather-driven yield models?
And so that's what's been factored in more leading up to this point, right? And so, again, we do have some models that factor in a little bit of weather in there, but I'm telling you, it is almost entirely driven by what the farmers are going to tell us in August with a little bit of input from things like weather, a little bit of input from what the satellites tell us, but the farmers are the driver.
Okay. All right. Very good. That obviously is the piece of information that carries the most weight then. Is NAS making any field observations for the August report?
Not for the August report. Well, we are for winter wheat. We're continuing
yes,
things through
yes.
that. But for corn and soybeans, no. That will start at the end of August, feeding into that September forecast. That's a change we made just a few years ago. And so, it's early. mostly counts and things that we were making before we made that change. And so we're trying to be as efficient as we can and use what was driving the forecast anyway. That's where we're putting our efforts.
Okay. Corn harvest is about to get started in the South. Are there any samples being pulled from the South?
No, there's not. Okay. We're not doing any field work feeding into this report.
Okay. Are the objective yield plots already established in the Midwest? Do you know where they are going to be?
So we know where they're going to be. They're not established in terms of we haven't been to the field. We haven't laid anything out. The farmers that have those fields don't even know they've been selected yet. But once we wrap up our work, you know, with the June acreage, that's when we can go through and identify where all those plots are going to be.
Okay. Who does the observations, Lance, when we get to the September?
Sure. And so we utilize our NASDA enumerators. We contract with NASDA to manage those. They not only contact the farmers to, you know, collect survey information. Those are the same folks that we send out into the field to actually take the counts, make the observations, harvest those plots for us. And it's going to be the same folks, you know, month after month visiting those same fields. And so you've got the consistency. They're probably the same folks that were out there last year too.
Right. Right. Are they the same folks that make the weekly observations in the crop progress report on conditions?
They are not. And so when it comes to the weekly, you know, progress and condition information, that's different than pretty much everything else we do at NAS. And so when it comes to the weeklies, we're actually talking mostly to county extension agents, local FSA employees, things of that nature. And so it's folks who, in the course of their daily work, come in contact with folks from all across the county, right? Because we're looking for, you know, a report or two reports, maybe in an extreme situation per county. And so you want to have somebody who, you know, knows what's going on all across the county. And it's really critical there that you've got somebody that's going to be there week in and week out. And for the most part, they're there year in and year out. And so those comparisons that you make over time, they really mean something.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Back to the crop production report on this one. The field observations that your enumerators make, how does that process change through the fall?
So, you know, it depends on how you call process. The process is largely the same, but what they count and what they measure is determined every time they go to the field based on the maturity of that field. And so it's not even the same for every sample across that month, right? Because the first thing to do is walk into the field and assess the maturity level of that field. And so that determines what do I count? What do I measure? Do I harvest certain parts of the plot and ship it off to the lab? It's all maturity driven.
Right. So you're capturing the data that's available in that field.
That's right. I mean, you can't very well weigh ears if you don't have ears, right? And so you always want to, you know, if you think about it, the absolute goal is to harvest a mature ear of corn, or, you know, harvest those mature pods so you can find out what do they truly weigh. And so every step of the process leading up to that is how close can we get to that? If we're not there yet, right, based on the maturity we're at, what's the next best thing that you've got?
Right, right. Okay. Before we get to the cattle inventory report, if somebody wants to learn more about what happens in the August crop production report, where can they find that information?
So there's all kinds of information out on our website, nas.usda.gov. And quite frankly, you can always reach out to us as well. We're very keen on talking about what we do. And so if you can't find it there, if you've got more questions after you do, give us a call. We'd love to talk you through it.
Good. Good. Excellent. Excellent. Okay. We got the July cattle inventory report back, Lance. That's good news. But it had to be strange doing a report and comparing it to 2 years ago rather than year ago, huh?
Yeah, you got to catch yourself when you talk about it, right? Because every time I try to say compared to last year, I'm like, well, that's not true. Right. Fortunately, we've had a little bit of practice at that with the cattle report. But, fortunately, at least with something like cattle, maybe comparing to 2 years ago means a little bit more than if you were talking about crops. But it's still – That was a pretty critical gap left in there. And so we are thrilled to be able to produce that data again. And we're, you know, super excited last week to get it
showed
back
us a street. Showed us a really small beef cow herd, didn't it?
It did, but not as small as a lot of people were predicting. And so that was a big part of the story, I think, that came out of that. And again, shows the importance of having the data, right? Because until we had it, you didn't really know just how low it was.
Yeah, yeah. And we're looking for evidence of that beef heifer retention in there to rebuild the herd. Not, it's still down 3% from 2 years ago. Not a lot of evidence of that, was there?
Yeah, I think there's some speculation that, you know, hey, maybe there's a sign that it's coming, but certainly not any hardcore evidence that says we're there. And so we're going to need another data point before we're going to, well, hopefully no, right? Maybe the next data point won't tell us either, but certainly we need at least one more to know.
Yeah, yep, no doubt about it, no doubt. All right, Lance said it earlier, key in this August crop production report is the farmer responses and what farmers are expecting from corn and soybean crops in particular this year. Also get winter wheat. We'll also get a spring wheat update, right?
That's right. Tons of crops will be reported in there. And don't forget, we're looking at planted acreage compared to the certified acres from FSA. That's an August activity now. And so we're doing everything we can to make sure we get that production number zeroed in as close as possible.
Lance Honig from NASS.
You said, hey, it's Crash Gladys from Speed Freaks. Are you still paying full price for gas? Stop leaving money behind. Get real cash back every time you fill up with the free Upside app. Simply download the free Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now and start earning cash at the pump today. Use limited time promo code SUMMER and get an extra 25 cents back per gallon on your first fill up. Listeners are making $200 to $300 a year just from buying the gas they already needed. Don't wait. Download the free Upside app now and use promo code SUMMER to redeem your 25 cent per gallon bonus. That's promo code SUMMER. Yeah, at first I thought it was too good to be true, but it's completely legit. Plus, you can cash out anytime. Don't let this offer drive on by. Download the free Upside app now by using limited time promo code SUMMER. That's promo code SUMMER for a limited time 25 cents per gallon bonus. Offers vary by user and location. Go to upside.com for terms and conditions.
Progressive's AutoQuote Explorer lets you easily compare direct rates from different insurance companies, so you can be confident you're getting the right one, even if it's not with Progressive. Way more confident than you were when you bought that TV in the parking lot. It just happened to not come in a box or include a remote. And when you finally managed to turn it on, all it displayed was the menu of Grumpy's Tacos. So use Progressive's AutoQuote Explorer and be confident you're getting insurance that's right for you. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting great candidates? Well, they're not hard to find when you go to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. People who are actively looking for jobs like yours. So it's easy to find the right person fast. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Ty Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
My husband is a veteran, and he was injured in the line of duty.
It happened while I was deployed to Iraq. We were stopped at a checkpoint, and then all of a sudden, there was a loud explosion. An IED detonated 3 feet from my face.
It was bad.
I remember thinking, who's gonna take care of my wife and daughter?
We took care of each other, with a lot of help from DAV.
When America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
I don't know what we would have done without them.
DAV was the voice that we didn't have.
Every year, DAV helps more than 1 million veterans like Jason get the life-changing support and benefits they've earned so they can achieve more victories.
It wasn't easy, but he never gave up.
My victory is knowing my disability doesn't define me.
He's an inspiration.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
If you're a diabetic, we have great news. You can end the painful finger sticks with a new CGM. Plus, they may be covered by Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance. If you use insulin or have had hypoglycemic events, you may qualify. Call U.S. Med now to learn more.
800-409-1936. 800-409-1936. 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, helping family farms through tough times with land loan rates as low as 5.55% for well-qualified borrowers. Rates subject to credit approval and may vary. Visit fbn.com/agritalk.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here, along with Chip Flory. Chip, a significant date slipped by me, but, you know, my beloved fans out there just won't let it go by unrecognized. Now, we talked about the trophy that I received in the mail just was that last week, a week and a half ago, maybe. It's right behind me there, if you can see.
Right up there.
Okay. All right.
And more has come in. This time from Hollywood.
Oh, my goodness.
A framed portrait. Patrick Swayze, Keanu Reeves, and Gary Busey all sending their well wishes. Of course, Patrick Swayze posthumously, may he rest in peace.
Yeah.
Still, nobody puts baby in a corner. But to Davis from Gary Busey and the gang over at the original Point Break, released July 12, 1991. I appreciate it. I'm humbled and flattered. And flattered. Thanks, Gary.
That's
good
amazing.
To hear from you. Yeah, yeah.
It's absolutely
it's just the support
amazing.
Just pours in. I just picked one off the pile, you know, is what happened.
Is that it?
It's 13 years now I've been with the company, bro.
13
years I've been with the company. Yeah, yeah.
Holy
Couldn't
smokes.
Be happier. Couldn't be happier.
Atta
it was
boy.
A position to grow into, and I'm still working on that.
Well, you still know the rules.
Indeed, I do. I do. I still check for that application
to
QuickStart.
It's our own little thing. That's it. That's
feels
awesome.
Like we got a good thing
Congrats.
Going though.
Congratulations.
Thanks,
that
Thanks,
is
buddy.
That is impressive.
I don't know. Maybe we get some pushback on this. Maybe whatever. We had Lance Honig from USDA NASS. Farmer responses are key to the accuracy of these reports. You want to give these reports the side eye, but you don't respond to them. No, if you don't, you can't win if you don't play.
Well,
right?
You know, it's a classic example of what is it, GIGO? If you get garbage in, you get garbage out.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Those that will complain about the accuracy of the reports are probably most likely to put some misinformation in the surveys.
Ooh, yeah, don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. Now, he mentioned at the end, right at the end, and I need to emphasize something that mm-hmm. Lance said. They will use the FSA certified acreage data that will be entered into the system ahead of the August 12 crop production report to make any needed adjustments to planted corn and soybean acres and spring wheat as well. Cotton, should throw that in there too. So anything that they can adjust or anything that they believe needs to be adjusted based on the FSA certified acreage data, they will make those adjustments. And I'm telling you, you guys, the people that put the analysis into the acreage certified acreage data, boy, oh boy, they do a nice job of extrapolating what it is going to mean for a plant, for a final planted acreage number down the road. They do a really nice job on it. So since some private analysts started doing such a good job on it, I think that's when the guy, when the people at NAS decided, you know what, we'd better use this the August FSA data to make some acreage adjustments as well.
Okay.
So it's that's an important point.
Separately, this wasn't on my radar at news writing time this morning, but $85 billion Union Pacific makes the purchase of Norfolk Southern, still needs, as I understand it, the approval of the Surface Transportation Board. Chip, are you seeing anything on this?
Yeah, that's what's happening. It moved very quickly from the rumor to the it's happening stage.
Yeah.
And it starts a process. All right. It starts a process that could take, I don't know, as many as 18 months, I guess, to get this thing done. The projected end date on it. Big Apple Joe, I know you're.
Get in here, Joe.
When's the projected end date on this?
They were saying 2027, but I don't know the date per se.
Right. So it's going to take at least 18 months before this is all said and done. And when it is all done, we will have the nation's first railroad connecting the East Coast with the West Coast.
Transcontinental
Railroad. Yep. If you are interested in some perspective on this and what it might mean for the industry, back on July 21st, we had a conversation in the AM show, in the morning show, with Mike Steenhook, the executive director of the Soy Transportation Coalition. He was talking about the potential merger of UP and NS, and here it is, Union Pacific and Norfolk Southern, what that might mean to the industry. So there you go. You know, keep this in mind. We're going to look at this and say, okay, well, if there's fewer handoffs on the rail, that should mean lower costs. But if, as I understand it, grain west of the Mississippi will continue, if it moves south on any rail, on any UP rail, it'll still be on those UP rails. Anything east of the Mississippi may move south on NS rail. So I don't know if it's going to actually lower the number of handoffs that would take place and lower transportation costs. And the lower transportation costs should typically mean stronger basis levels. The problem is I think it's going to have more to do with the cost of getting a car from Michigan to California than it will on moving grain to south and the export locations. All right. Hey, thank you so much for listening this morning. Really appreciate it. We had some great conversations. Come back this afternoon. We're going to be there in Arizona for the Sustainable Ranchers Tour. We're also going to talk screwworm with the state vet from Arizona. That's this afternoon on AgriTalk.
Anyone can choose to make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. And more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
Skin looking and feeling tight, irritated, dry, or just meh? Maybe your skincare routine is missing a crucial step. Meet the Calming Mist Toner from Pharmaceris. With hyaluronic acid to deeply hydrate and prebiotics to support your skin's barrier, just a few soothing sprays after washing your face balances your skin's pH and helps the skincare products you use after work better. Dermatologist developed and known worldwide for premium quality, gentle, effective skincare, Pharmaceris is finally available in the U.S. on Amazon. Real users rave about the Pharmacerist Mist Toner. It actually helped reduce redness. It's so gentle and never leaves my skin feeling dry or tight. The calming properties are amazing. I can feel it. Try the Pharmacerist Calming Mist Toner today and see why it's the skincare step you've been missing. Pharmacerist Calming Mist Toner is available on Amazon for only $14.99. Use promo code SKINMIST to save 20%. That's Pharmacerist, Pharmaceris, and use code SKINMIST to save 20%.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Update on yesterday's deadly New York City skyscraper mass shooting from ABC's Alex Stone.
We now know the shooter was arrested and charged with trespassing after he allegedly tried to grab a security guard and refused to leave a Las Vegas casino in